It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Three ball, Max Landis.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Older than I'm wise.
Well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Oh, put me in cold. I'm ready to play today.
Yes, sir. It's opening day of the 2024 baseball season, the real opening day. Already had a couple of games happen, but everybody gets a chance to play today, as long as it's not raining. And that means hopes are brand new for every team in the league. Everybody feels like they have a chance today. There's no other sport like it where everybody feels like, hey, how long can we keep the good vibes going at the start of the year? And it all begins today. Unfortunately, fewer day games than I'd like, but hey, we'll get to that in just a moment. We've got lots to talk about for today. We've got a packed show, a couple of great guests lined up in the second hour, too, and we'll get to that in a moment as well. But we begin today with the PFW Norfolk State CIT Championship last night. The Dons is kind of running out of gas at the end of that ball game, held a lead, a big lead, as a matter of fact, in the first half. They were up as many as 18 points in the first half, ended up falling 75-67. Close game toward the end, and the game really turned about halfway through the second half as Norfolk State was able to claw back into the thing. And PFW shot it so well in the first half. I think 8 threes before halftime. Anthony Roberts had a great curtain call, though, in his final game as a Don. 18 points. And the shots just kind of stopped falling. Derek Decker in for Brett Rump today. Adam Lundy's with me. Adam, Anthony Roberts goes for 18, but the second half shots didn't fall. And we wondered how long the legs would hold up after such a grueling and demanding travel schedule for this group. Really valiant effort, winning a couple of games on the road against teams that had 20-plus wins and had the lead last night, just not able to hold on at the end. And you could see, even though the fight was there, the legs were tired big time at the end of that game.
Absolutely, Derek. We talked to Brett before the game yesterday on the show, and he said this is a team that's definitely going to give it their all and is not going to let travel affect them. And I think that it didn't affect their desire to win, but I think it did just eventually catch up to their legs and their bodies there late in that second half after competing, you know, really valiantly for the first half, getting that big lead. But I think we did see the fresher legs prevail in a Norfolk State team that only played, you know, one game ahead of this.
That's
one.
Right. Yeah.
And
at home.
And at home. Didn't have to travel at all. They were well rested. They had the home crowd behind them getting, you know, excited with every point that they scratched closer. And that can lead to a lot of momentum for the home crowd as well. Right before the end of the first half, Dons were up by double digits, and then a couple mistakes got it to a 10-point lead.
I think it was 10.5, yeah.
And that was a win there for Norfolk State because they had been down by, like you said, closer to 18, 15 points for a good portion of that first half. But like I said, that whittling it down to 10 going into the locker room at half really gave Norfolk State a lot of momentum that they were then able to carry out into the second half. But yeah, like you said, fantastic run, fantastic season for the Purdue Fort Wayne Mastodon men, and a lot of returning players for next season.
23-13 is what the Mastodons finish. And yeah, barring transfers, everybody comes back except for Roberts for next year's team. Everybody is eligible to come back, so there's still a whole lot to build on for this group. And I think it also is worth mentioning that as we put a bow on this season for the Dons, you know, you look back and they were winners of a bunch of games in a row at the start of the season. They got off to such a hot start, and almost all of the conference losses that they had, they either had leads in or were very close at the end of the game. Tons of single-digit losses. Brett and I talked about that a little bit yesterday on our call. Those games started to slant toward the Dons the last couple games. And, you know, again, they did have leads late that slipped away, but they were able to make plays down the stretch. And, you know, that's the beauty of college basketball, winning close games. It's Not often we see huge blowouts at this level of college basketball. The Horizon League, extremely competitive, obviously had plenty to show for it in the NCAA tournament with Oakland doing what they did to Kentucky. But all in all, a real solid season for the Mastodons. 23 wins to just 13 losses, and they will settle up as the runners-up in the CIT. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. My last day filling in this week, although I've been on the show, this will be day three of our run of Adam and I filling in for Brett because of that grueling travel schedule that he's certainly a part of. And the Dons are flying back as we speak to Fort Wayne here. So they're trying to get back as quick as they can. You know, Brett really mentioned some of the problems that they were dealing with trying to find so many seats on a flight less than 24 hours out. Certainly not an easy thing to do, but those guys are getting back in later tonight. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Question of the day, your favorite opening day memory. MLB's opening day is taking place right now. There's only one game underway, and the Orioles are in front of the Angels to start, but a whole bunch of games are starting as we speak. 4:10 is the first pitch for a big block of games, and there's a few night games to finish off. The only nationally televised game is tonight with the Cubs and Rangers at 7:35, and certainly that'll be competing with the Sweet 16 that's going on. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get deeper in our show today. For now, Adam Lundy has today's top headlines.
All right, let's get into today's top headlines. Derek, thank you very much. Well, five-star class of 2024 wing Bryson Tucker announced his commitment to the Indiana Hoosiers today. Tucker, a 6'6" wing from Bishop O'Connell in Arlington, Virginia, is considered a five-star prospect in the senior class. The McDonald's All-American is now the lone Indiana commitment in the 2024 class after Liam McNeely reopened his recruitment in February. Tucker had long been believed to be headed to the NBA G League Ignite team, but the NBA recently decided to scrap the Ignite, which made college a viable option for the highly touted prospect. We'll be talking about that more a little bit later in the show. I know that. Minnesota Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor is no longer selling his controlling stake in the franchise to minority owners Mark Loren, Alex Rodriguez, a.k.a. A-Rod, he announced today. Taylor alleges Loren Rodriguez failed to meet certain contractual deadlines and obligations of the sale process, which began in 2021. Sources told media that the relationship between Taylor and his successors, Loren Rodriguez, disintegrated over the past 2 years. In a statement given to media today, Loren Rodriguez maintained they have met their financial obligations, including a final payment last week. And Southern Illinois is expected to hire Wright State's Scott Nagy as its head coach, sources told media today. He's led the Wright State Raiders to 3 regular season titles and 2 NCAA tournament appearances. He also went to 3 NCAA tournaments at South Dakota State. He has a career record of 334-190. As for Wright State in the Horizon League, they are expected to elevate associate head coach Clint Sargent to replace Scott Nagy. And those are your top headlines today, Derek.
Thanks a lot, Adam. And that's Adam Lundy. We'll check in with him again at the second hour for a MLB scoreboard update. Once the games get rolling, we'll check in on how games are going. I'll be completely honest. You know, we were talking yesterday about our Tigers fandom on this show.
Yeah.
And we've got the stream pulled up over here that I'm keeping an eye on as the Tigers get ready for first pitch in Chicago today. So not incredibly warm, but it is sunny. And that's kind of what I was vouching for, that early afternoon start. You want to start at 1 or 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Get all the sunshine. Temperatures in the upper 40s, but all in all, Tigers have a chance to get off, I think, to a really good start. We broke down a little bit of their schedule yesterday, and a lot favors Detroit early in the season.
Absolutely, and like we said at the start of the show, the start of the MLB season is a time of opportunity when every team can think that, hey, if we can start hot, we can get on a run, and who knows what could happen this season. How's this for a ceremonial first pitch? The Dodgers, we got Adrian Beltre throwing to Clayton Kershaw for a ceremonial first pitch.
Yes.
Oh, that is awesome.
That is absolutely awesome. And there's so many storylines going into today. We're going to break some of those down later on in this first hour. But a name to know if you're not a Tigers fan, a name to know for left-handed pitchers in the American League, Tarek Skubal, potentially, and yes, I am a homer, but potentially a dark horse to win the Cy Young. I think he's poised for that breakout season, assuming he can stay healthy, and that's one of the big questions for him. But the Tigers have some of the best rotation depth at pitching as they've kind of drafted that strategy over the last 5-6 seasons, attempting this rebuild. And it has turned out nicely, at least on that remark now. How does the offense kind of gather around that and try to bounce out? Here is the deal. Three guys starting for the very first time on opening day for Detroit today on offense. So excited to see how the Tigers get rolling. The Cubs get rolling tonight at 7:35. Again, that is first pitch against the Rangers. That's the only nationally televised game on ESPN, but there's plenty of other games in action right now. MLB opening day, your favorite memory of opening day. Texas 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We were talking a little about PFW last night losing at Norfolk State, but the women are still alive in the WNIT, and they are tipping off tomorrow night against St. Louis in their, what do they call it, the Super 16 game in the NIT, and they get a chance at a home game. We talked to Maria Marcusano earlier this week on the show, Adam, and excited to see the Dons, both programs playing so late in the season. And again, you know, every team aspires to be in the NCAA tournament, but the WNIT is a really fun tournament with a ton of really good teams. There's plenty of Big Ten teams here. This is a solid tournament. And already two postseason wins, the first two in program history. So Don's little chance to build on that.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing how they do against the Billikens of St. Louis.
That's right.
I do like that mascot. Shout out to Keegan in Fort Wayne texting in on the text line 46862. He said his best opening day memory in the MLB is Tuffy Rhodes of the Cubs hitting three home runs in 1994.
Love it. I absolutely love that. Man, there are so many great memories. I want to hear from some Reds fans out there too, because the Reds have a great opening day history. There's been some awesome moments over the years, and we're going to talk a little bit about those great moments on opening day. And one of the things that we said yesterday is, hey, when you get to a point in the season when everything starts to kind of blend together in that 162 game slate, you remember certain games more than others. Opening day is one of those days. And
right.
Even if it doesn't have an actual huge impact on how your season goes as for your favorite team, it feels like it does. Because if you lose on opening day, you're, here we go again. If you had a bad season last year, or you sound the alarm bells if you think you're good and you get blown out on opening day. It's like, oh, this team doesn't have enough pitching after one game in a 162-game season. So I just... Yeah, it is what it is. I love opening day. But again, what other sport can you really say, you know, we really feel like we have a great chance to be competitive and make the playoffs? It's difficult to make the playoffs in baseball. It's a little easier now than it used to be, now that the extra wild cards have been added. But it is still the most prestigious postseason event in all of the major sports. Think about the NHL, the NBA. You have tons of teams that are making the postseason, teams with losing records. That does not happen in baseball. There is... it is prestigious enough where you have got to be good and usually well above 500 to make the playoffs, honestly. And I appreciate it. And that goes back to the conversation, like how many teams should make it. But it's one of those deals where if you don't make the playoffs, you can be pretty good and not make the playoffs. And that, unfortunately, every now and then we leave a good team out, maybe two good teams out of a playoff run. You think about the Blue Jays a few years ago, that ended up, I think, winning 90 games and got left out of the playoffs because they were in that elite East division, which should be pretty good again this year. Anyway, lots of fun storylines to track. The Shohei Ohtani thing is still going on. We're still sort of in limbo with that, but there's plenty of other great big league prospects that are making their debuts today. And thinking back to October just kind of proves you had franchises in the Rangers and the D-backs that were battling it out for a World Series championship, and it just kind of goes to show that you don't have to be a big market team with a high payroll to figure out ways to get in the championship. The Diamondbacks showcased that spectacularly, and also good during the regular season in baseball does not necessarily guarantee postseason success.
Yeah, and a high-paying roster also does not guarantee success.
Definitely not. Ask the Yankees.
Yeah, ask the Yankees, ask the Padres.
Yeah, that's also true. There's definitely some... Padres as their second team here in Fort Wayne, obviously with the Tin Caps connection.
Right, and we love the Tin Caps.
We do. We certainly do, especially on this show. But in fact, we're only about a week away from Tin Caps opening day on the road. They'll kick off their season up in Midland, Michigan against the Great Lakes Loons. And then opening day for the Tin Caps at home is on April the 9th. That's against the Lake County Captains, the affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, and so getting them at home to start the year. In fact, I think it's the Tin Caps may have opened against Lake County last season. I have to go back and look at the official mark, but I think that was their first series, if I can remember just off the top of my head. We'll confirm that later on in our show. But it is time for our first break here on the Sports Rush. Derek Decker in for Brett Rump. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about IU landing that five-star recruit, Bryson Tucker, and how he fits into the lineup potentially for Indiana. Stretch four, maybe a big three. What does he look like, and what other scholarship options does Mike Woodson have to fill those six open spots on the bench? We'll talk more about that when we come back. It's opening day in Major League Baseball on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. The start of a brand new Major League Baseball season is underway as a whole number of teams are playing right now. We'll keep you updated on that, but we stick it to the hardwood because it is Sweet 16 action tonight. We got four games going on in the NCAA tournament. Also want to point out, hey, you think about Major League Baseball, who does get some unnecessary flack. And that's just the truth. Like, Major League Baseball gets hated on by other sports, other teams, fans of casual stuff. And I don't understand, okay? And I get it. I'm a baseball homer and whatever. But I do want to point out that having no early afternoon games today, one of them was rained out, yes. But the rest of them, Major League games, none of them nationally televised except for one, and it's the Cubs and the Rangers, and that's being played during the Sweet 16. Now, like, why not own the early part of the day? Like, I get it. A lot of people are working or whatever, but for people that aren't, or the people that get to talk about sports, why are we not having a bunch of games during the day? 1 o'clock games, nationally televised. Like, you think back, Adam, just a few years ago, like, ESPN was doing a triple or quadruple header, like 1, 4, 7, and 10. They had four games in a row all day long. And, you know, they were doing five games sometimes. Or they'd have like a game or two on ESPN2 at the same time. It was this huge deal. And I just feel like we haven't gotten that this year. And Derek is a little bit disappointed about that. And I rarely talk about myself in the third person. So that really just showcases my disappointment for Major League Baseball not making this day better.
Yeah, definitely could have been scheduled better and would have had a lot less conflict with all this Sweet 16 if they had scheduled some of these games even just earlier in the day. You know, even if a lot of these games have been 105, then I'm not super happy about the opening day, you know, conflicts either. So,
well, 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, and our question today is favorite opening day memory.
Yeah.
And I did get a text from loyal and a longtime listener and broadcast partner Mike Maz about opening day, and he asked if it has to be in the major leagues. It does not. Any opening day is great. Major League Baseball is the kind of the official start and mm-hmm. the official owner of that opening day title, but opening day is a term that belongs to baseball. Like, we don't talk about, I guess sometimes we refer to week one in the NFL as opening day, but it's not really opening day. Opening day is a baseball term. But the first game ever, this is Mike Maz sharing his favorite memory. First game ever played at Parkview Field in April 2009. Of course, remember, that was the home opener. The Tin Caps that season, the Midwest League champion team in 2009, played their first few games on the road, six of them, as a matter of fact. But James Darnell hitting the first home run in stadium history. The Tin Caps shutting out the Dragons 7-0. And then three more games against the Dragons. Ended up going to Fort Wayne to start the year 10-0, and that was a precursor of what ended up being a dominant super team in Fort Wayne, and it's the only Midwest League championship in the history of the franchise. But such a cool memory from Mike there on opening day in Fort Wayne, and tons of history at Parkview Field. Again, we are less than 2 weeks away from Fort Wayne's own version of opening day. Last year, we had such great weather.
We did.
That whole week.
Yep.
It was such an awesome start to the season, and there were plenty of great, exciting players in Fort Wayne last year, and expect the same this season when we see the roster officially released coming up here in a couple of days as the Tin Caps prepare for their 2024 campaign. And again, starting on the road up in Midland, Michigan against the Great Lakes Loons. We got to squeeze in a little bit of talk about Bryson Tucker and what's going on in the portal for Indiana for your IU Hoopers out there. That's the big talk of the town right now in Bloomington. Not only is Bryson Tucker officially committed, five-star forward and kind of a stretch four potential guy as I see him, North Central guard Leland Walker is visiting Indiana next week. And I think he's a guy that you could seriously consider having a part of the team. Like, every time you see somebody come across your feed about, well, Indiana's contacted this guy in the portal or this guy in the portal, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a realistic chance of them coming to Indiana. But I think he fits a perfect need. Leland Walker, point guard last year at Eastern Kentucky, 15 points a game. He's visiting DePaul right now, as Adam pointed out during the break, spending today and tomorrow with Chris Holtman and visiting with what he's got cooking up at DePaul. And Indiana's got 6 open scholarships to fill. But he is a guy that certainly fits the mold of the Mike Woodson style and Indiana's desperate need for a traditional point guard that they had very little of last season, only when Xavier Johnson was healthy, and he certainly did not have his best collegiate season last year. But in the meantime, Bryson Tucker, 2024 wing, has committed. He is the only guy in the class right now, 6'6", from Arlington, Virginia, and is considered a 5-star in the class. Of course, Liam McNeely opened up his recruitment last month. You know, you just kind of a gut punch to Indiana fans expecting McNeely to come in. You do wonder, you know, if those two guys come in together, man, what kind of young talent could have Indiana had next season? This being said, and we were also chatting about this, for you Indiana fans that are not aware, the NBA's G League team, the Ignite, announced that it was shutting down operations. So even though NIL has become more and more profitable the last couple of seasons, and we're seeing new uncharted territory here for college athletes and whether they decide to go to college or go to the Ignite and then go to the NBA, that's no longer an option for players. And again, a lot of guys were saying, I feel like I can make more money in college. Just from a financial perspective, it's better for me to go to college because I can get a payday right now and get myself a few $100,000 at name any blue chip university instead of just getting playing time in the Ignite.
Yeah.
Even though my goal is still to be in the NBA. Well, this is that guy. Bryson Tucker was likely going to go to the G League Ignite. That's the initially held belief by lots of folks that are covering the situation. He's so young, too. He actually won't turn 18 until early July, but will now be a part of Indiana's team next season. This marks the 4th straight spring that Indiana has won a commitment from a top 30 prospect. Tamar Bates in 2021. You know, Tamar was committed to Texas with Shaka Smart, and then Shaka left for Texas, went to Marquette. So Tamar Bates reopened his options, came to Indiana. And of course, he only turned out to be a player for a couple of years for IU and then hung out last season at Missouri. In 2022, Malik Renew came in for Mike Woodson and committed after Mike White left from Florida to go to Georgia. And then, of course, Mbako decided to come to Indiana after Kyle Filipowski came back to Duke and played there. So, again, there's all these moving pieces. Mike Woodson has really had some success late in the class times. Yeah. When you talk about being open for recruitment and commitment time, he's had some great success for that. So it doesn't even really matter what you think about Mike Woodson's recruiting. He has had success in this area. Now, will this turn out to be a good ad? Who knows? I don't think it really fills any desperate gaps that Indiana has. He actually kind of fits the build of a lot of guys that are on the team right now. Kind of that stretch guy that can lengthen things out. He's probably going to be a problem on defense. He's going to be a tough matchup for other players, that long wing type that can shoot it from the mid-range. Not believe that he's going to be a great three-point shooter. Some of the scouting reports out there on him in high school were saying as shot gets kind of flat when you get out from the three-point line, but he's a really polished game inside the three-point arc. But again, that's like a perfect microcosm of an Indiana player, right? Good inside of 15 feet from the rim, and that's about it. You get outside 15, and then you got trouble.
Right.
Mackenzie Mbako really stepped up to be the main three-point scoring threat for Indiana last season. So we'll see how it all turns out for IU. And Bryson Tucker, Leland Walker also coming on a visit next week. And then there's also been plenty of other talk, ton of names you need to know, maybe a couple dozen in the portal that Indiana could have a legitimate shot at. And one thing I want to break down later, this is kind of a preview for hour number 2. Have you all heard about the Kim Mulkey situation and what's going on with her, the head coach of the LSU women's basketball team? Of course, she has made a name for herself. Champions last year with LSU, beating Iowa in the national title game. But she's made headlines for some wrong reasons. She had some pretty negative headlines surrounding COVID-19 when she was back with the Baylor program, and there were lots of things going on there. She's been in some hot water for some political takes that she's had and decided to talk about with her time with the media. And, you know, whether you fall in the same political sphere as her or not, she has never made it known, never had a problem making it known what her opinion is, never been afraid to share that opinion. And this opinion is, hey, I'm going to sue the Washington Post if they publish anything bad about me. Kind of comes out of pocket, doesn't name the reporter. We now know who the reporter is. It is Mr. Babb down there in Baton Rouge, who has a very long and storied history. She claims that he wrote a hit piece on with Brian Kelly and how he made $100 million with LSU as the football coach and why that doesn't make sense with the other staff that's at LSU. Anyway, all that to say, we have no idea what this story is going to be about. But you don't talk about it and don't say, well, if they publish anything false, I'm going to sue them. You don't just blurt that out if you don't think it's potentially career threatening. And I think Kim Mulkey is in a position where she feels like she is threatened. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let me know if you've heard about that story or what the heck is going on with that, because there's very few rumors going on right now about what this could refer to. Seriously. I mean, we just know that a piece is soon to come out. And unfortunately for Kim Mulkey, this is really bad timing if it comes out in the next few days, which we think it might, although there's been smoke since the weekend with the Washington Post and, you know, her saying the stuff she did in the press conference following their round of 32 win to get to the Sweet 16. So anyway, unfortunately for LSU, all the focus is on Kim Mulkey and off the court right now as they're attempting to play in the Sweet 16. Tough position for the defending national champions to be in, but maybe they did it for themselves. Maybe it is going to be a bad hit piece. Maybe it is a little unfair. Who knows? Who knows? We just don't know yet. I just have to have my eye on that because it's one of the more fascinating things. And when it does come out, could it potentially reveal some really bad information on Kim Mulkey? Could it be something that is totally overblown and we're making a big stink out of nothing? Hard telling, but we'll find out soon, hopefully, from the Washington Post. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about MLB's opening day, as that is fully in swing. Sweet 16 games tonight. We'll have four of them, and you can hear all of them on our air with whip-around coverage courtesy of Westwood One. We'll also have the High School Coaches Show coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll talk more about that and much more as we continue on in our first hour of the Sports Rush. And I'm Derek Decker, in for Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Derek Decker filling in for Brett Rump today. Adam Lundy, our producer, is along for the ride, too. Good afternoon to you and happy MLB opening day on this Thursday and baseball in full swing. And Adam, we were just chatting during the break about Shohei Ohtani. I'm hoping that some of the... Well, I don't know what I'm hoping for, honestly. Like, I like tracking what's going on with the Ohtani dramatics off the field, but it also is nice to see what he's doing on the field and having some fun in his first at-bat of the season. Well, technically not the first at-bat of the season for him, but still on opening day.
Yeah, his first at-bat here at opening day here in America, he ripped a double, but then is thrown out when he aggressively ran to third base, only to find Mookie Betts still standing there, and he's held up at third.
So it's a classic baseball deal. There is something you just don't get in other sports. Like there's nothing better than Major League Baseball's opening day. I just wish they took it a little bit more seriously and like featured a bunch of games.
Right.
Part of that was ESPN's contract going through the wayside and them kind of pulling back on the number of games they produce, but you got to find a way to get more games on. Maybe that's like getting TBS involved for a triple header on their deal or something like that. I don't know. I just feel like there should be a whole lot more attention, especially when you have to starve for it. Feels like Major League Baseball just decided to give up on this day because they already knew they were going to be competing with the Sweet 16. So it's like, well, we already know it's going to be a loss, so let's just open in the season and this is it. Like, this is how we're going to play. Like, I don't like that. I just don't. I think it's bad for the sport, especially coming off a season when there was some major interest renewed in baseball with the pitch timer and games being, you know, cut by a half an hour and totally more watchable pace for baseball. Some huge stars still in the mix. I don't understand not taking advantage, but this is a classic baseball thing to do. You know, they dragged their feet getting going during the COVID pandemic and turned into a shortened season when they had a chance to be the first things back, and they ended up messing that up. So baseball certainly doesn't have a great history of taking advantage of the things They do. They don't always help themselves out. Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. And the question today is, what is your favorite Major League Baseball opening day memory? And this one's not a favorite. This is one that I learned about partially because of, you know, being in a family that has a few Reds fans in it. Mm-hmm. But text in if you remember this day, 1996. Kind of a bad memory, to be honest with you. John McSherry, the home plate umpire in the game between the Expos and Reds in 96 on opening day in Cincinnati, ended up calling time and collapsed and died of a massive heart attack during the game. That game ended up being postponed. It was called off. And then, unfortunately, Marge Schott, the Reds owner at the time, had some pretty harsh comments complaining that it snowed the morning of and then said, I don't believe it. I feel cheated. This is not supposed to happen to us in Cincinnati. It's our history, our tradition, our team. And really just declined to comment that somebody died on the field during the game. That's kind of a tough look for Marge, who was certainly known for some of her her unbelievable comments throughout the years. That was 1996. I know we've got Reds fans listening today. So text in if you remember that day or if you've been to either Riverfront Stadium or Great American Ballpark for opening day. I think Cincinnati does it better than almost anybody in Major League Baseball starting the season on opening day. It's great to see the Queen City get a chance at opening day once again this year. And I love the tradition in Cincy. I love the way that they do it. Again, 4:10 was the start time. In fact, they're leading already 3-0 over the Nationals to start the ball game. And there's some serious buzz around the Reds. Now, remember, they do play in an open division with the NL Central being kind of up for grabs to start the year. I just don't know if the Reds have made enough big-time investment into, like, high-profile players. They're still relying on a lot of youth and guys that have been either bought or drafted in their lower minor league system. So it's hard telling, you know, what'll happen with the Reds this year. I mean, I think they should be competitive in the NL Central, but who knows? I'm excited to see what they can do. And we're going to talk about some of the predictions here in just a second on who's going to be good this year, who I think is going to be good, who's going to win certain divisions that are of interest to our listening area, who's going to maybe win the Cy Young, who's going to be in the World Series at the end of the season. Really hard to predict that. But I don't know. Adam, who's a team that interests you going into this season? Although I think you could, of course, you could say the Tigers. It's a team that interests me because they have not been playoff competitive in a long time. But who interests you going into this season?
Yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on my Tigers, see if they can possibly squeeze in there in the AL Central. I'll also be seeing how the Padres do this season now that they've got kind of, I don't want to say depleted, but they've, you know, they don't have Soto. They don't have some of their, you know, higher paid guys. So a little bit of a not depleted roster, but just a lower payroll, honestly. And we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if they can make some noise just with a different kind of focus. I'll be interested to see if the Yankees, with all the money that they've paid, can get over their little hump, their little struggles that they've been having despite shelling out all their money.
Yeah, they've been having some real problems, man, the last couple seasons. I'm friends with a number of Yankees fans, and listen, they have extreme expectations every season, and they feel like they should, at a very bare minimum, be in a playoff series every year. Like that's just what they feel like they should be, and it really went south the last couple months of last season.
Yeah, if they were in the AL East, I'd say keep an eye out on the Toronto Blue Jays. I think they might be sneakily good this season, but it's just they're in that division, and it's tough.
With Grizzle veteran Joey Votto now on the team.
Yeah, how about that? He's not willing to hang up the cleats and the glove just yet.
That's right. Well, the Tigers have, in case anybody's watching, again, it is on my second screen over here as I look at it. Andy Ibañez has driven in the first run of the game on the south side of Chicago. And the Tigers have a lead. But anyway, we've got more to talk about with Major League Baseball. I am of the opinion. Now, a lot of people are picking the Atlanta Braves to potentially win the World Series. I think they kind of have to enter as the favorite.
Yeah.
I really do. I think they return the most talent. They have got young guys locked in with long-term contracts on that team. But the Dodgers, you know, could be a team to watch as well. I feel like we say that every year. Again, they've got the big payroll. They've got the biggest stars in the game, some of the biggest stars in the game. I don't know. Are you ready to hop on the Orioles bandwagon yet after what happened last season? The little playoff noise that they made with such a young team and the O's having a historic year, getting back in the playoffs. First of all, it was great to see them back in, and I hope they're good again. But I still think it's too early for me to be completely sold that they're going to be a real force in the American League.
I have to agree.
Some people are picking them to win the World Series, though.
Wow.
Looking down at the ESPN votes, they had a panel that voted the Braves were the overwhelming favorite.
Sure.
The O's and Dodgers were actually next. And then Philly's got a couple and one each for the Mariners, Yankees, and Blue Jays to win the World Series. I think the Yankees are... should be excluded from the list. I don't think they have enough on that roster to be like a contender at all. That feels like a stock pick from somebody who doesn't watch baseball very much. But either way, I think the Braves are probably the best team coming in. Again, we talked about it last year with what the Diamondbacks were able to do in the playoffs. It's just so hard to win playoff series, even if you have elite bullpen arms. I mean, last year, again, and this is one of those things where you think about, what does it do for a team in basketball or baseball even to play a game and then or play a couple games, a wild card series, best of three, and then go play again? In baseball especially, your mind would tell you you want your best guys available, so the guys that have the most rest have the best chance to win a series, and that's just not how it turned out last year. So you just never know in this awesome sport that we have a great time talking about here on the Sports Rush. We'll have plenty more baseball coverage as we get through the season. One of our listeners texting in, 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, thinking the Rangers are going to repeat. Rangers, Braves, Rangers in seven. I don't mind that pick. I think the Rangers are pretty long shots to repeat, given some of the expiring contracts on that team. But again, I love the outside the box thinking there with the Rangers getting back in the World Series. And it's just funny. Maybe they fly under the radar. Again, of those teams that I named from the ESPN kind of voting panel, none of them said the Rangers were going to repeat as World Series champs. I don't think they're ready to become a dynasty, but they should be really good again.
What's going on with the Astros this season? I haven't heard much about them.
Astros should be on the outside looking in my mind. I am not a believer. I don't even know if they're in the middle for a potential playoff series win, maybe not even in the playoffs. Maybe this is the year where the Astros take a turn where they end up missing the playoffs. You know, that would be a pretty big shock. But, hey, somebody is saying, this is another text here, no love for the defending champs. I don't have love for the defending champs. I think last season was spectacular what they were able to do in the American League. It was really fun to watch. It was awesome. But for somebody to repeat, how difficult that is. Mm. We've seen the Astros be in the ALCS time and time and time again, and make it to the league championship series, be in the final four of baseball, if you will.
Yeah.
And they've put together this lengthy run. But even they, who have kind of been the real dynasty of baseball the last 6-7 years, have only put it together a couple of times for a World Series championship. It is just so difficult to do that.
Hey, we got a longtime listener, Ryan Eaton, weighing in on X, formerly known as Twitter. He says, MLB needs a salary cap, not right that the Dodgers and Yankees can get whoever they want. My Cubs should be good again. They re-signed Belly and added some bullpen arms and a few players on the field.
Yeah, well, the Cubs ended up re-signing Bellinger because the market kind of evaporated for him, and he was not a profitable piece for a lot of teams. His asking price was pretty big when he went on the market. Turns out good for Cubs fans, and I think that's great. But I think part of that was just market value more than anything else and the year that he became available. And sometimes that's the way it goes in baseball. It's all about timing. If you don't know, and I think probably most of our listeners do, of course, the MLB has a luxury tax, which is not the same as a salary cap, but it doesn't mean that there's just no restrictions or no penalties for spending a bunch of money on your payroll. Luxury tax is a deal, and it is a thing that affects the way teams spend, especially smaller market teams. Mm-hmm. But I get the point. I don't know that I can agree. I think small market teams still do win. I mean, we have seen that a number of times. We have seen small market teams that don't necessarily have a ton of history get through deep into the playoffs. But I get the point. That you feel like the Dodgers and the Yankees and those teams are just able to have ungodly payrolls every year, and every other team's a little more cash strapped than that. So I get the frustration. But I don't know that that's going to change anything anytime soon. I think it's one of the beauties of baseball that really separates it from other sports. Another texter, Cubs could spend Dodger money, but they only have once in 2016. And the Cubs do have enough money. And I know there's been plenty of frustration with ownership and the way that they have dealt with things in free agency and all that. But we'll see. I think the Cubs should feel good about their chances. We were talking yesterday about Cubs and Tigers and some of our area teams. I think of our area teams. So we'll just, for simplicity's sake, the five area teams, both in Chicago, Detroit, Cincinnati, Cleveland. I think all five, well, okay, four out of the five, should be in the mix in like early September to potentially be within striking distance of making a late playoff run. The only team that should be on the outside is the White Sox. I think they're going to have the worst record in baseball. You know, opening day is the day for joy and optimism, and the White Sox are playing in a far less than full ballpark today against the Detroit Tigers, a once-hated rival when the White Sox were having some great years. The White Sox and Tigers had some really fun games for a number of years when Miguel Cabrera was at his peak, Victor Martinez in Detroit, and the rotation that never won a World Series that will unfortunately not try to bring up as much as possible here. But the White Sox have a pretty bleak future in 2024. As far as bold predictions go, if I had to make one bold prediction, Adam, and I want to get your opinion, and also 46862, love you guys texting in. Give me the A's to win it all. We'll just not respond to that. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. Although I'll be interested when they move. I'll be interested what they do with maybe a new type of fan base. So we saw what happened with the Golden Knights in the NHL. It kind of, granted, that was different. That was an expansion team, not a relocation, but it just rejuvenated. I guess it wasn't rejuvenated. It just introduced a brand new fan base, and they had a great team the first year that they were in the league, and they've kept together a pretty strong fan base because they've had good success. But my pick to click this year for an underrated team is without question the Kansas City Royals. I think the Royals will be within five games of 500 this year. So I think they'll be playing meaningful games later in August. For a team that you want to know going forward, even if it's not this year, again, I don't think they're realistic playoff contenders this year, although they are in a favorable division to do so. I think the Royals in a year or two will be atop or right near the top of the AL Central. They have built the right way. They've kind of built around Bobby Witt, which is a name that lots of fans know in baseball. Even the ones that don't need to learn his name quickly, because he is certainly still a rising young star that got to be in the limelight at a super young age because of the team that he played for and the way that they drafted around him. Bobby Witt is a really fun player to see in person. He's a great personality. Unfortunately, they haven't had enough pieces around him to compete yet, but I think they will be much better this year and take a huge step forward into kind of being the middle of the pack in that AL Central, and we'll see who comes out on top. But again, outside the White Sox, Cubs, Tigers, Reds even, and Guardians should all be playing meaningful games in September. To me, it is a disappointment if not. I guess the Reds are the next team you could kind of lop off that list. But the Reds should be able to build some on what they did last year and the excitement of bringing Ellie De La Cruz into the league. They should be fun to track as well. We got to take a timeout. The second hour of the Sports Rush is coming up. Hey, in hour number two, we've got Austin Render, the voice of IU women's basketball and baseball, ready to join the show to talk about the Indiana matchup with South Carolina tomorrow night out in Albany, New York. Also, as always for Thursday, Eric Dukevich, Dute, will join from Parkview Sports Medicine in the back half of hour number two. That's all straight ahead on the Sports Rush. I'm Derek Decker, in for Brett Rump with Adam Lundy on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.